Well, yes, we go to channel NBC again.
NBC Connecticut, Brad, and in our Touchpoints Rehab interview, Chair is Christiana Cordero, investigative reporter for the NBC Connecticut Response Team. And Christiana, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's so good to be here with you both.
Well, we're honored. And explain to our audience, first of all, what the NBC Connecticut Response Team is all about.
So Response is a very cool consumer brand franchise that we have at NBC Connecticut. And it's something that each of the 11 NBC-owned stations around the country also have. So collectively, we have saved viewers across the country for our NBC base millions of dollars. Here in Connecticut, we're up to about 207,000 since we started about a year and a half ago. And essentially what you do is if you have a consumer issue, if you feel like you need your money back from a business or, you know, whatever else, then we have a phone number that you can call, and we have a form on our website that you can fill out. And our catchphrase, if you will, is that every single person gets a response. So whether we can help you or not, we'll definitely reach out, because so often these cases are frustrating on the consumer's end because they feel like they fall on deaf ears. So we're here to be your advocate in times of stress. At the very least, we'll point you in the right direction.
What is this thing about the water?
Yeah, so that was our most recent response case that we resolved. It was a gentleman who actually lives in South Carolina, although he's from Connecticut originally. He has a business office in Stamford. And they ordered this. The running joke was that the talk around the water cooler at work became about the water cooler itself. So they ordered, you know, shipments of water, and instead of going through a warehouse, they ended up thinking that they would save money if they went directly through the company. Well, the company kind of messed up their order and created two separate accounts, is what we learned. And so they were getting double, if not more, the amount of water that they needed.
The water was piling up outside the door,
piling
right?
Up. Yeah, yeah. The line for the restroom was super long, too. That's not confirmed. But they ended up having more than 50 of those massive jugs of water and had no idea what to do with it. And on top of that, they're not saving money at all. They're actually getting billed way more than they should have because they have all these resources that they don't need. So he reached out to us, and we were able to resolve that case. First of all, figure out what the problem was. And the company, Belmont Springs, said that it was their bad, and they cleared his other account that he didn't need, and ended up refunding him basically $3,405.
Well, one of the accounts went into collections, correct?
Right. So, and this is the case for so many of these response stories that we do, is people tell us, we always ask them, why did you reach out to us? You know, especially as such a new brand, I'm always curious as to what prompts somebody to pick up the phone or to go to our website, and go to us. And almost every time somebody says, I just had no other option. I didn't know what else to do. So with this case, he was being sent to collections, which is something we hear so often. And he was panicking because it's like, this is a lot of money, and it's money that at the end of the day, he knew he didn't have to pay. So that on his end was very frustrating.
Well, when a case goes into collections like that, can you get it reversed?
Ideally, yes. And sometimes that process takes so long. And I think part of the frustrating part from his end was that he wasn't able to get any kinds of response that he wanted from the company he was dealing with. You know, they couldn't really figure out what the issue was, or he wouldn't get a and beyond him, you know, a lot of these consumers can't get a response at all. So that's where we step in, is we promise to at the very least try. And luckily we have a producer. So I have a producer I work directly with in our station over in West Hartford. And then we have another producer in Dallas, and he sits with a bunch of the other 10 response producers that represent the rest of the country. So it's a very cool concept, because here they are sitting essentially, you know, in the same room, but he's sitting next to the New York guy or gal and sitting next to the Boston guy or gal, and they're able to understand, because they do sit more or less, you know, based on where they are geographically, and they're able to understand what kinds of trends we have in our region. They're across the table from people from Los Angeles and San Diego, and they can kind of compare notes. And if there's something that sticks out here, we can work with WNBC in New York or our sister station, our new sister station in Boston, and figure out a regional type issue that maybe we don't have in other parts of the country. So it's a very cool way to approach these big consumer issues.
Well, have you
fabulous?
It really
fabulous.
Is. Have you found with this, and this is a great resource to be able to work with the other NBC-owned
yeah.
stations, have you found that there are common consumer complaints across the country?
We have, and it's interesting because the Better Business Bureau, among others, I know the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau does the same thing, they come out with lists of the top 10 consumer complaints, and they more or less match what we get, too. A lot of used car complaints...
kind of new car?
So a lot of borderline lemon law complaints, you know, buying a used car and something going wrong with it within a week of buying it. Those cases, although we do resolve them on occasion, can get really tricky because really what it comes down to is, a lot of people don't hire the independent mechanic that they have to hire in order to make sure that their purchase is sound, and B, it's really hard to tell, you know, when you go from point A, drive it off the lot and go home, that something didn't go wrong along the way or in the however long it takes for you to drive it back and say, hey, there's something wrong with my car. But we do, on occasion, resolve those complaints because we do, like I said, you know, have the resources to kind of get down to the fine details. Some of the other complaints we get, a lot of robocall ones, yes. which we did a story on because we felt like it was necessary. After all, they, as in the robocallers, are able to now spoof your number to make it seem like it's coming from somebody who yep. lives in your area. And it's not necessarily something that's new, although it is massively prevalent right now. And it's annoying at the end of the day.
Get them, Dan.
Well, I do. And Christiana, correct me on this, but it's very easy to do. I could go online right now, mm-hmm. and I could come up with a local number.
Yep.
And once I get that number, make a call right here from this computer, and it would show up on your caller ID as if it was a local number. That's how easy it is.
It is. And it's so hard, you know, and it's so hard to keep up with the game, right? Because you can try to do the do not call list or any other business that will claim to block this number. But if you're spoofing a number, you don't necessarily want that number to be blocked. You just want that spoof to not exist
right.
so that you know to ignore that call. Really what it comes down to for most people is you should ignore that call. Of course, when you're expecting a phone call from somebody important, if you're, you know, and you don't necessarily have it saved, then you're going to have to send it to voicemail, and that's just kind of the risk you run at the moment. But answering it does basically let the other person know that this is a working number. And so it's annoying at the very least, but it's also potentially dangerous as far as, you know, they target the more vulnerable communities. So you have people who will answer the phone, and the person on the other line knows that all they have to do is to get you to answer the phone. And then they can talk you into buying something or giving away your personal information. And that's where it gets a little bit tricky because you don't want to do that. And the people that you care about, you know that you don't want them to do that either.
We're going to pick up on that. This is very interesting, Brad. I know we have a traffic report coming up.
19 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning. Boy, I'll tell you, Dan, this is more than very, very interesting. We've been talking to our friends from NBC News several times, and Dan, boy, I want to tell you, some of the things that they've been doing is just incredible.
Well,
incredible.
It really is, Brad. The NBC Connecticut Response Team, and we're talking with Christiana Cordero, investigative reporter, part of the NBC Connecticut Response Team. We were talking before about robocalls, and part of the piece that NBC Response did was that you have these robocallers seeking out, you mentioned the vulnerable, particularly the elderly and also low-income people. Talk about that.
Yeah, so this is the case for pretty much any type of scam, right? And we can, by and large, equate it to that, where they are so good at what they do. And we always say around the newsroom, if only they could put that to use in a better way, because
yes.
they're very smart people. And to the point where even authorities find it very hard to keep up with them. But they'll spoof a number. In our story, we spoke with the Groton police because it turned out that in the area, Groton, the town of Groton, was becoming a spoof number. So it would come up as your phone as the town of Groton. Of course, you're going to answer it if you live in the area and you're concerned. And to that point, they can just kind of reel you into this conversation about something that you that you seemingly either need or that you can give away some kind of personal information. And you can do a lot with a little bit of information these days. So it is, in that sense, it is so important for people to understand what's at risk and just to not fall for it. Even if it's not too late, if you even if you answer it, just don't, you know, just hang up. If you think it's coming, and this is true for any type of phone number that comes up and they try to sell you something or threaten you into something, if you think that it might be legitimate, you should still hang up. And then you should go and call whatever business they claim to represent. Call them directly, and I would bet 99% of the time it turns out to be a fake number. So that's something that we really thought was crucial to relay to our viewers. And in that case, you know, it's not something that we're not all, although it's a huge part of our brand is getting people their money back. Sometimes there is valuable information that has nothing to do with that necessarily. This is damage control before it even happens.
Well let's talk about that. Something about our electric bills that I'm sure people aren't aware of. Give us a rundown on that.
Right. Well, so in both of the GOP and the Democratic proposed budgets, which, you know, we don't have a budget right now, obviously. So, but in their proposed budgets, they had in the implementer, respectively, a certain amount of money that was going to be pulled from the Green Fund, the Connecticut Green Bank, and put into the general fund. And it was different for each of the proposed budgets. For the GOP budget, it was $26 million over 2 years, which is half of the Green Bank's budget. And the Green Bank, for anybody who doesn't know, essentially finances or gives grants to people who are looking to invest in renewable energy. So presumably it would go back into the system, as, you know, because
solar power, wind power,
exactly,
things like that.
Exactly. So that is their purpose. They basically operate on $26 million a year. And so I know that the GOP budget was proposing on taking half of that and moving it over to the general fund. Our Senate Republican leader, Len Fasano, said that that was, A, necessary in order to have a balanced budget. Actually, both parties said that it was necessary to have a balanced budget. And also that, look, we're trying to not cut from people who need it most, people who are sick or who are elderly or whatever else. And this is something that they can still do a lot with $13 million. And the Democratic budget proposed taking more, taking $30 million over 2 years, but also doubling that charge in your bill.
On our electric bill.
Right. So that the Green Bank would be compensated in some sense and they wouldn't take as big of a toll in their budget, but also moving the same amount, if not a little.
But our electric bill would have gone up.
Essentially, yes. And this is something that something that you don't necessarily know that you pay, right? And this was the other side of the argument was the transparency part of it, because you don't, I know as a consumer advocate and as a ratepayer in Connecticut, I didn't necessarily know how much I was spending towards the Green Bank. It's something that falls under service charges. Combined benefits charge is technically what it falls under.
So that's not listed as an individual line
it's
item?
It's not an individual line item. It falls under the combined benefits charge. The average ratepayer, if you're using 750 kilowatt hours per month, you're spending about $10 a year towards the Green Bank. So that's something that would have, part of it would have been diverted over to the general fund. And some people are saying, look, how is this not an additional tax? This is essentially an energy tax going towards pensions. And that's what the Office of Consumer Counsel had to say, was that it just doesn't seem fair that this was something that specifically is meant to be for this one purpose.
Right.
And now it's going to go towards paying.
What before we leave here, what number can our listeners get to get you if they need you? What is the number you have over there?
Yep, so I have it memorized because I've done this tag 1,000 times.
Good.
It's 844-303-RESP. So if you call that number, then somebody will, we won't answer right away, but you leave a voice message and we'll get back to you between the two producers that I have, one in Dallas, the one here in West Hartford, and myself. one of us will get back to you, and more often than not, we'll get back to you pretty quickly.
All right, give us the number again.
Yep, 844-303-RESP.
I'm also going to throw this out because it's a great page. Go to the NBC Connecticut website, NBCConnecticut.com. You'll see the menu on the top, Troubleshooters. Just click on that. It's a drop-down menu. And when you hit on the drop-down menu, you'll see NBC Connecticut Responds. Click on that. And, Christiana, what a great page. You got all of this information, all of your stories.
Page.
And anything a consumer wants to know, it's right there. Contacts, the whole bit.
Yes. Do it again, Dan. Read it.
Just go to NBCConnecticut.com, top menu, Troubleshooters. Click on that. It's a drop-down menu. Click on NBC Connecticut Responds, and voila, there it is.
Everything's there for you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having
me. Thanks, Christiana.
Oh, we'll
you bet.
Talk again. Yeah. We'll talk again.
Right.
Good to meet a few investigative reporters.